Well, when it came, it was quiet when we moved down into the town, but all hell was let loose in the evening, in the dark. The battle went on all night, and we looked at our two trucks parked on the, like these terraces, you see, and we'd got off the main road, and we were pretty well hidden. The lads were coming back quite regularly. They were fighting round, sort of nearly to the top of the, what is it? But Jerry was in the hospital, the top. And we had a, there was this summer house thing looking down the, over the valley, just round on a bend, same this previous day. And we had a brain gun and a couple of machine gunners in that, what is it? During the night, they left a couple of the girls part, A company this was, then as one of the officers was putting us where he wanted us, and left a couple of the infantry lads with those two of us. The corporal was still there that night. Well, it was just the second day in the town, and he was driving one truck and I was driving the other. And we were parked there, and we could hear them giving fire order. Our lads from this summer house were just on the bend, you see, just around the bend, a bit further up the road. And that went on quite a while, and there was a lot of activity that night with small arms fire. These bullets that what did
tracer.
They, tracer bullets, that's right. The sky was alight with them. Over the top, there were tracer bullets going both ways from towards us and away from us. And this went on all night, and we were stuck there, and it locked a couple of the lads, the infantry lads, and we were, just in case we were in danger of being occupied, the truck where we had the trucks, you see, because it was all happening just round the top of that hill. We weren't far away, and the lads kept coming back for further supplies of ammunition. And it was quite, no sleep was going on all night. This, my friend, the corporal, he was a bag of nerves, he had me as bad as himself. But he couldn't help it, poor devil. He really was. Shut.
Is this the corporal from Leeds that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
And you couldn't remember his name?
Well, I know his name, but will not mention it. Anyway, he was a bag of nerves, but as I say, he couldn't help it. He had me. Do you think we're all right, Gordon? You know as much as I do, Les. For God's sake, shut up. this went on, and they kept coming back, and then the machine gun, they kept bursting, a burst of fire from this summer house round the corner, and then it went quiet, and the lads stopped coming, and of course, what happened, I mean, read it up later. They were moving away, you see, round the hill, the way around to the left.
The rest of the company?
Rest of our A company, yes.
How far was the lines of the platoons that were in the action from yourselves? What was the distance?
I really wouldn't know, because, I mean, companies didn't have anything to do with it, really. I mean, well, they were fighting as a unit, but there wasn't many of them, if you've been reduced in numbers, you know. It seemed to be like that anyway. Prisoners taken and all this sort of thing. Some companies had a real bashing at one point and lost a lot of men, you see. C company lost a lot at one point. So you never knew.
Was there any information coming back to you, not necessarily intended for you, but wounded men coming back?
Only a bit of news we got from our own lads. The whole thing of my experience of the action, you knew what was happening just in your little area, but you hadn't a clue. No way of finding out what was going on, what, on a mile or two at each side of you. And no idea how the war was progressing. You only just knew the bit you were in. And there were times when you felt, well, we're never going to win this war. By jove.
What had you carried up under the hill in your mouth, in your
I'd loaded with ammunition. Loaded with ammunition. At least I showed it.
And was that all taken off at once?
No. They took it off as they needed it.
So there would be people coming back.
They got. We had an awful lot of small arms ammunition. 303 rifle bullets.
You have a list there, Mr. Gent, of the actual supplies that you carried into up that mountain that night.
Yes.
It would be interesting to read it up into the.
Yes, table. Well, I was supposed to have this complement of stuff on all the time we were in action.
The usual kind.
Yeah. Yes. 303 bandolier, that's 5,000. They were in boxes. Packed all new cartridges, you see. And the bandolier was in bandoliers, they used to use machine guns. Rather, what is it, you know? And then there'll be and 303 cartridge, 7,000. They were the cartridges that went into the Bren things. There was, what was it?
The rifle.
It was 30, what is it? A Bren
magazine
carried 30 shots, I think. And, you know, the old thing clamped on and they were loaded in. These pouches were full of torn weight, by the way. That was cartridge. 38 pistol, now that was the very pistols and flares and that sort of thing.
And that was 38 cartridges for those pistols.
There was 38 pistol cartridges, yeah. 45 TSMG, small arms. I think that would be machine gun stuff. 33,200 must have been. There was a lot of cartridges there. 5.5, well, that was the anti-tank rifle. That was supposed to be, the only weapon they had as infantry against tanks. They weren't much good then. They were supposed to, they didn't pierce anything, they were just supposed to dent. And
was that the boys' anti-tank rifle, the long barrel weapon?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that was it.
But you still had it with you even in 43,
yeah,
still there.
Yeah, yeah. I had a tripod on where I carried on. There was a woman each truck, and that was set down, and the Bren was fastened to it, and you made a fixed line. I had a bit of experience in all of that. Fixed line.
How many rounds of that did you have?
160. That was anti-tank rifle, because they were 5.55. 2-inch mortar. These are all mortar. 54 bombs, that was high explosive bombs, 54 smoke, 36 illuminated, 9 red, 9 green. They were all these things that fired up in the air. And paired mortar bombs, 18. Oh boy, I had them aboard when the truck exploded. Well, that was the explosion. And they were a powerful thing, but they weren't armor piercing. It was just there again. It was just damaging the structure of the tank. It was supposed to knock the people out inside. Whether it ever worked. But the trouble was, as we heard from the lads who tried to use them, they had to nearly see the whites of the driver's eyes before they were any good. That to be in striking distance. That was paired mortar bombs. 77 green smoke, 37 hand grenades, 72 hand grenades, 75 anti-tank crystal signal illuminating 32 pistol rounds illuminated red and green 16 piece. That was my compliment.
And this was basically the same load going into action that you would
I was take. Supposed to, if there's a lock used out, I was supposed to find an opportunity to go and make the load up again when I could. And that was our instructions.
And you said throughout the action they were coming back and taking
oh yes, stuff away. The first night they used a lot of ammunition. And then
did you get emptied?
Not emptied, no. Eh?
Did you get emptied on the mountain? Did you have to go back for more?
I didn't. I went back next day when it had quietened down through the day. I went back down. That's another story. Next day I went down. And we had a lot of the transport, the bigger stuff, in a big, what you call it, well, there's these great 5-story blocks of flats. There's 4 of them with a road in to 4 places, and we had all our trucks in there. My base was 15 miles further back. And we blew back and forth. We had 3 tonners and that sort of thing. They all had loads of ammunition which we could supply, make our supplies up from, you see. I got down there. And
that was a dump in the town?
Yes, it was in the town. In the lower south end of it, and we had quite a few trucks in there, and I went down and I loaded up, and I lost my driver there, I lost the corporal, because he'd gone ill. He went down before I did in my truck, and I couldn't find him. His truck was still there, but I couldn't find him. And I got down to this big quarry. Anyway, I was asking a question. Have you seen anyone in Corporal so-and-so? Well, last I saw him, he was going sick. And he was down there. So have you looked in the cellar? So, well, I said, where's the cellar? I didn't know where the bloody cellar was. Anyway, I found him. And he was just a bag of nerves.
Nerves had gone to the whole of
him. And thought, well, I can't do anything for him. He was waiting to see an MO, I think. But he was lying on his blanket when I found him down in the basement of one of these blocks. Anyway, had his driver's mate took over, you see, he could drive. So we were two trucks again, and we went back up.
Well, did you see many men in conditions like that?
Not a lot. When I was in hospital, I saw a lot.
Well, we'll come to those.
Pitiful sight. Pitiful. It was more distressing to see the bomb cases than anything that I found. Really was.
Did the...
Pitiful scene.
Did the... soldier understand and sympathise with a man who had lost his nerve in that way?
Well, you had to. It all depends what degree of cool they had.
It was obviously genuine or not.
No, whether it was just funk. But that had to be, there weren't much good anyway if they gone like that. And Corporal, he disappeared, and we'd lost Captain Rizard, he hadn't been made up to major then. Captain Rizard was wounded, and his second in command was wounded, and the second in the Lieutenant Low, Captain Logan, he died on the way to base hospital.
And these happened, of course, away from you. You didn't actually see these.
No, I heard about it. The Captain Rizard sent the QM down with the Donner to when we were down at the wood, this where I was loading up with ammunition, and he had a here the two officers had an ammunition box, the private possessions, you see, and they were on the corporal's truck. But Miss Bizzard was wounded, and he'd gone into dock, and his second in command had gone into dock. He sent word down with the QM. They had to open these two trucks and get out all the cigarettes. They also had a good supply of cigarettes, the officers acquired them, so they didn't run short. But they thought about those cigarettes in those boxes, and the Major Bizzard, Captain Bizzard, was to pass on all the cigarettes and chocolate and to the QM to dish out amongst the lads. Was a fine gesture, really. Thoughtful gesture, anyway. And
the same company was having a pretty tough time.
Well, they were having a tough time there. All the value of forces were. We were boxed in for days, 10 days, before we even broke out at all. But we captured that hill, they accompanied him. But they disappeared, you see, after night had gone, when they were coming back on the floor, and then we didn't hear anything, there was no more lads coming back, and it became daylight. I was getting very worried. I didn't know which way the battle had gone, you see. We had no means of knowing which way it had gone. Just things quieting down so well. But I swore that I was quite convinced. I heard this machine gun that was firing from the summer house. First of all, we heard our own lads giving fire orders, and then it went quiet for a long time, and then it started up again, and I was quite convinced in my mind. I thought, well, that's not English, it's bloody jury. I didn't see anything to be made. It was bad enough as it was. I'm not sure whether it was or not, but...
Did you come under any shell and water fire yourself?
The truck was set on fire. Just the next day.
And how did that happen?
Well, I went down from... I'd lost contact with the lads altogether. And I didn't know whether there was no point in staying up there. And I was doing nothing, the two of us. Well, the other lad had taken over Stewart's truck. And I didn't think I saw... the CEO, the company commander, and HQ, battalion HQ, were just 200 yards down below where I'd been parked at the hill. I'm going to pop down and see if I can find out from battalion HQ where their company's got to and whether I should be trying to contact them or not. So I gets down there and... There was a triangular little orchard with fruit trees in and two or three cocks of hay, and they'd got trenches in there, and the CO was in a trench, and his retinue was down there, and quite a few the shell started coming over good and fast, 6-barrelled mortars and God knows what, and it was hectic. And we were all about shouting, take cover, get your heads down, that was the thing. And these trenches, I don't know whether we dug them or whether somebody else, they were there anyway. The CO was in one, and somebody with him. And his driver was in another one, and I dived into this, what is it, with the CO, where's the CO's driver? You got squatted down, you were just about below the level of the water, and the shells were coming over, and they were exploding over there, and they were exploding beyond. I think what was saving that particular little bit was this great big block of buildings. They were catching it as well in the top of these buildings, you see. It was coming, the shelling was coming over this building and beyond this little three-cornered bit of orchard. And then somebody shelling was going on. We were heads down. I thought I'd been hit or something. I suddenly felt a piercing shoot of pain through my leg. Oh God, I grabbed my leg. I said, hell, I think I'm being hit for something. When I looked down, there was a little tiny bit of shrapnel about that square. Red hot. It had burnt all of my trousers and it burnt my leg. I got rid of it. That was the sole effort that I got. And I was in Midge with Jerry in East Seos. What is it? Anyway, then the voice went up, there's a truck on fire at the gate, sir. And he pops his head up, the CO in the next trench. And he said, anybody who knows it is? I said, yes, I put my head up. I said, mine, sir. He said, what have you got on board? So I started reading that list out. Oh, my God, he says. anyway, I got out of the trench, but there's nothing I could do about it. You know, we didn't even have fire things on.
Extinguishers.
We should have had. See, there's these trucks that we were driving, these Canadian Chevs. They were very pretty well strongly armoured, you know, as far as bodywork in there. And to get into the bonnet, there was a flat plate about this square, fastened down with a couple of turn buttons, and you had to undo these to get to the engine. Well, when I saw my truck, the flames were coming belting out of this square, and the back was on fire. And when there was only one answer, she would blow up. Wait till the ammunition, you say, and it did. Phew, what an explosion. Let's see, these paid mortar bombs are fierce things, but they were just blast, pure and simply blast. Very powerful. And things were flying and bullets were going off, and it was a poor old truck.
Were you frightened at the shell fire?
Oh, you were frightened, all right, really, you were. But I'd got to the stage by then, I'd got to the stage in North Africa, when I got mortally tired of being scared stiff. But you couldn't help it at the time. The situation's been terrific at times. But I got to the stage when I thought I was just about immune. To feel, oh hell, I can't be bothered. I've got to get over this feeling of fear. And after that, I didn't keep a damn what I was asked to do. If they'd asked me to drive in through Jury Land, I'd have gone, trusting in something or other. I just didn't care. I'd got to that stage, I wasn't worried about anything really. If it's going to happen, it'll happen, and that was my attitude. And it was a help. Was a help.
That was the way that you dealt with stress in yourself.
Yeah.
What about fatigue and tiredness? Was that you?
Well, if you were really in trouble, being threatened like that, there's no question of sleep. You weren't tired either. You couldn't go to sleep with that book going on around you. And the feeling of what could happen any minute. And this didn't get you did get nights like this. And
when it's all over, I know we're not at the end of that yet, but to ask around this subject, when it's all over, is there an enormous desire to sleep?
Well, you slept when you knew you could put your head down, go to sleep, and would not be disturbed. You could have slept for days, like that, but you did not get that opportunity.
Religion, did religion strengthen you in any way in the danger times or worst moments?
No, I'd packed up all feelings of any faith in religion as it's practiced today. I was Church of England, and there was a padre with us, he was Church of England. And I remember in North Africa, just before the big attack went in, He got hold of me. I was back down at Beeshalon, and he got hold of me, and he went and he got a communion service. such thing as God. I've no faith in anything of that sort at all, but as it's preached. No faith in anything. Couldn't be. And I still think the same. There's no, as far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as a God doing marvelous things.
And so your trip went up. What happened to you after that?
Well, I had a most terrible lost feeling. My God, what the hell am I going to do now? I'm standing there, I'm stuck in that blooming place. The HQ was being shelled and bombed, and I heard him telling us his officer with him, we've got to hold this position at all costs. I thought, oh, bloody hell, I can see me giving the rifle, should be my hand, but I'm stuck here in no truck. I didn't fancy that at all. Anyway, we had to clear, it cleared us out of that spinny, shelling in. We got out through it. There was a road in from the road at this side, and at the other far end, it wasn't very big, this spinny. There was some iron gates that had been open for years, obviously. They were all glass blown at the bottom of them, but a lot of it. When the explosion came, now this truck of mine blowing up, there was a fearful explosion, and there was trucks with camouflage netting on in this spinny, and all the blooming netting was on fire, and we were frantic. We were dashing around, dragging these burning nets off the trucks in here, as they would have gotten on fire. And there was two or three haycocks. They were on fire. This was all from the blast, from this ammunition truck going up. Man.
So your truck nearly destroyed battalion headquarters?
Just about. Oh, I wasn't the only one. There was a string of grain carriers further down the road, parked just below me, and the one nearest my vehicle was about 20, 30 yards away, but it was on fire as well, and there was a dead body laid across the back of it, so he would be incinerated, I reckon. And
did they give you a weapon and push you into infantry?
No, I had to get the rest of the troops out.